Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this blessed day of worship, for this blessed resurrection day. Father, Lord, if this day to identify the first day of the week which our Lord resurrected, if there was no resurrection, we won't be here today, Lord. There'll be no eternal life for us. But because Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, He laid down His life that He might raise it up again and give man eternal life in that which He had done by giving Himself up as a propitiation for sin. We thank you, Father, for giving us a Savior. We bless thy holy name. And this morning, Lord, right now as we approach thy will, we ask for your grace once again. Let, Lord, you open our hearts and our hearing, our spirit, with an ear to hear what you would say to us, Father, in this hour of time. And may that we live for you, Lord Jesus, that we may glorify thy name. We ask this, Father, right now that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are left up last week, the book of Acts. I said we're going to study this book of Acts. We're going to see what the Lord, did in the early church age, or in the early church. What transpired, how he moved the people, and the things that happened in the life of the believers. So last week we finished off with verse 6, 7 and 8. Now let us recap a little bit here in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1. Or verse 6 rather. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That's a very, very question. Because the children of Israel, the disciples knew the prophetic, prophetic words or the prophecy that Daniel uttered or Daniel was given by the Lord. And what we know has Daniel 70 week. And you find it in Daniel chapter 9. So in Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy, we realize that it was a determined time. 70 times 70 of years are fixed to deal with the children of Israel concerning their temple, their holy city. And so there was a countdown, of course, they knew about it. Because the Bible said, according to what the prophecy that was given to Daniel, from the going of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, from that time on you count 490 years. So they got that message, and we know that Cyrus passed the decree for the children of Israel to go down back to their homeland and to build their city and their temple. So they could count. So now they come to that stage, they realize they're already back in the land of Israel. They already had the temple. Then here came the Messiah. That's why now when Jesus resurrected and show himself to them, they realize that according to the prophecy of Daniel, somebody else's weak prophecy, they realize that after the Messiah comes, the kingdom of Israel must come. And they are expecting it. But you see, in the plan of God, there was this gap that God has split between 69 and the 70th week. And they were expecting, everything to flow exactly as it should be. But let us go and look at Daniel chapter 9, a little bit on that chapter. And if you were to read the verse 26. After 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the dead thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolation are determined. You see, here we have, it says, after 62 weeks. 62 weeks is how many? 62. But there is the other one up there above, verse 25, that says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 72 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troubled times. 7 weeks, 72 weeks. 7 plus 62 is 69 weeks altogether. Alright, then in verse 26, the Messiah be cut off. The new Jerusalem was cut off. So they expected then, but that the Messiah will restore back the kingdom of Israel to them. But in Daniel chapter 9, prophecy, there was nothing mentioned of it, that there will be an immediate restoration. But they were looking forward to it. And Jesus then said, now, you see, they know the time, because there is a framework of 70 weeks. But for us today, when the church started, how do we look for the coming of Christ? When is Christ coming? In the first coming, His first coming, they have 70 weeks prophecy to look at. To look at the time frame. So immediately after 69 weeks, they know Messiah is cut off. And that is exactly what happened. Huh? Do you understand that? 483 years. And there's still seven more years to go to make up 490 years. But for us today, we don't have a determined time frame. There is no such thing as 70 weeks are determined for us, or so many years are determined for us. No. The only thing that we have, what the Jews have is Daniel 9, what we have is Matthew 24. And that's all that we have. And Matthew 24 has already been, well, almost all fulfilled now. Right. And we will even see that there was the sign of the Messiah, which we call, was mentioned even in Matthew 24. Besides Luke 17:30, the sign of the Messiah, or the ministry of the Son of Man. That is, of course, obviously, ministry of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is a Son of Man, Brother Branham, where Brother Branham manifests that messianic sign. That which we only see in this 20th century. Nobody in history ever had that kind of gift. All they have is the gift of discernment. And people in the denomination said that, or Pentecostal will say, they said Bob Ram had the gift of discernment. No, it's not just discernment. It's knowing the secrets of man's heart. The gift of discernment is totally different. You know, you can look at a brother's need, like I saw the brother, and the Lord of Maha discerned that he wanted to know more truth. He said that is discernment, but Abraham's gift is a gift of the messianic sign. Where he looked at a person, he said, where you live, what disease you have, right? Just that Jesus Christ did it to the woman at the well, and the woman at the well said, he said, the scripture said, when the Messiah comes, this is what he will do. They know it. You see, even Philip says, found that Nathaniel under the fig tree. And Jesus Christ said, here's a man in need who have no doubts. How do you know me? You know? Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. I knew it. Jesus, that is a special sign that we see in this 20th century. But there is no time frame that tells us when Christ is coming. But only the season that we are living in. So now, the Jews did not understand that God had a kingdom that is spiritual. The children of Israel has always been, as what we know in the Bible, they're always looking for signs. They're always looking for physical things. That's why they wanted to be like the nations around them. They want a king because they have palaces, they have all these tombs, you know. So they want a copy, they want to have, you know, I think that, you know, the United Kingdom. They have the king and the queen. And back in those days, Malaysia, Singapore, were all under the Commonwealth. And in the morning, you're in school, what do you sing? God save the king or God save the queen, right? Isn't it? And then in England, you see, when they have all this festival, the Queen will come out in a very pompous carriage. And people stand on the road, say, "Oh, God save the Queen, God save the King," and all that. It looks grand. But in countries like here, we don't have king and no more queen. So what do we have? We just a president, a prime minister, and a cabinet. So there's nothing grand. Israel have his own system that God give them, but they look to those pompous setup, and they wanted to be like them. And they always are like that. And they cannot look beyond what God is saying in the Spirit. And so when we look at the children of Israel, they have that sign that was given them. But they cannot, or the prophecy that was given, but they cannot look beyond what God intended to build a spiritual kingdom. They did not see the Messiah in his coming to set up a spiritual kingdom. They expect him to give the kingdom of Israel back to them and set it up. Of course, they look back in their history, the kingdom of David, kingdom of Solomon, how grand it was. They want it back. But Jesus said this in the next verse. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power." It is not for you to know the time and the season. Daniel chapter 9 verse where we read early on, it didn't say precisely when God is going to give them back the kingdom. Huh? But they know the Messiah will come. Prophecy was given throughout the Old Testament. The Messiah will come to them and redeem them. But you should always want to go ahead along. Redemption, yeah, please God is redeem. Spiritual, whatever. And they want a kingdom set up, literally. And they didn't know that God has already had a spiritual kingdom on this earth right now, when the church stopped. And so Jesus said, "It is not for you to know. Not for you to know. The time and the season which the Father has put in his own power." That's a good thing that Jesus said here. But let us look at this closely right now. We all expect Christ to come back. Soon. We are looking forward to. And I believe those of you who believe what Brother Bram talks about, you know, when Christ will come, they give you this sign, that sign, so on and so on. And even Brother Bram predicted that Jesus Christ will return to earth in 1977. Now he based on some seven signs or vision that he had, and by his own calculation how he arrived at that. You know, and the believer who followed Brother Bram was so excited, yeah, 1977 is going to come. Jesus is going to come. But back then when I read it, I realized Christ is not coming in 77. 1974, 1975, many of them said, "Oh, Christ is coming by 77. And many of them even go and find a wife and get married soon. You know. So, there was a man that came over. He was a Korean. Paul, Korean man. He's a believer in the message. He came to my apartment flat in the evening time. Knocking at my door. I was surprised. I don't know how he found my address. And had a talk with me. "Brother God, don't you believe?" And you know, this guy, "Don't you believe?" The problem said, "Christ will come in 1977. I said, "I believe what Brother Bram said, I don't believe that Christ will come in 77. Huh? So he said, "Believe all things." "Yeah, I believe all things." If he said the devil believe, I said, "Yeah, the devil believe too. But he's not going to help." Huh? If you tell me, "Oh, the Pope believe also that Jesus Christ is a Savior," I said, "I know he believed that, but I don't believe that he's going to heaven. Because he's opposing the Word of God." A man may say, "I believe in Jesus." He can confess, "I believe in Jesus. He is my Savior." But if he opposes the Word of God, that's not a believer. But who are you to judge, Brother Gann? Who am I to judge?
The Bible says you judge by the word.
By the fruit you shall know them. What fruit? Now when he was talking to that brother, what fruit? Oh, now he lives a godly life, he's godly kindness, this. So look at the Buddhists, they do the same thing. Look at even the Hindu or anybody else. Even there are those who are not Christian, not even have any religion. They are better than most Christian people. They fulfill all these nice fruits all there. But when Jesus said, by the fruit you shall know them, it's not talking about these fruits. What is that fruit? You find it in Matthew. Huh? What is that fruit? What comes out from the mouth? A tree is known by its fruit. Out of a person's mouth cannot bring forth blessing and cursing. Right? So that's how you judge by the fruit. So the man says, oh, I'm a prophet of God and this and that. Okay. Show me your fruit. Oh, don't you know that God is three persons? Don't you know that you have to be baptized in your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? That's the fruit that comes out from this mouth. Because it's contrary to the word. Because your life, when you say that you are a believer, you are a tree planted by the water. What water is that? Living water. Your life is planted by what? In the water of God's word. Remember, the Bible said, must be born of the water and the word. But the Spirit and the Word. Yeah. Right. We said the Word is life. And the Bible said, Paul said, Ephesians, being washed by the water of the Word. Because the Word of God is like a cleansing water. If we are planted in the Word of God, we took this nutrient from the Word of God. And so what comes out in the tree comes forth in your mouth. You confess exactly what the Word of God said. Isn't it so? That's your fruit. You cannot confess any otherwise what the Word of God say. You see. So, when we look at it, the Jew didn't know. But for us now, we are also in, well, they said the church is some sort of limbo or something. Yeah, Jesus is coming. Yeah, Jesus is coming. And you ask some people, some believer, when is he coming? Or not, maybe 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you know? Especially when they're young one, especially they're making a career. Huh? They want Christ to wait. But those who always sickly one, oh, Christ, come tomorrow, please come today. It's always like that. You know? So everybody is having all the idea when Christ is coming. And we only have the sign that's given to us in the book of Matthew. That's where the whole list of it is there. Besides other gospel years. But that's what the whole chunk of it is right there in Matthew 24. So when is Christ coming? Alright, you know when Christ is coming. The Bible says, it is not for you to know. Not for you to know. But Jesus said in Matthew, says that, you know, he said that, when you see the fig tree putting on leaves, you know the summer is nigh at hand. Right? And we know that the fig leaf have already put on its leaf. When? 1948. 1948. Okay, and this generation shall not pass away until all these things were fulfilled. And the word generation is from the Greek word gen. Genia. Genia means the people. This generation of people, not generation of time. And I was discussing with one of the believers. And he started to tell me, you know, Brother Brown said, it is not time, it is people. I said, I know that. Just because I'm trying to say how short, how close we are to the coming of the Lord. Right? And if we look at what Jesus, what happened, we are looking for pattern. As far as the return of Christ is concerned, the prophetic time of Christ when he comes back, we do not know. Because even for Israel, God, Jesus told them, not for you to know. Neither was it for us to know. The exact time, Jesus already said, nobody knows the day and the hour. But we know the season. Right? And so we look at the pattern. So the day that Jesus Christ came, 0 BC, 0 AD. 70 AD, 70 years. when Jerusalem was destroyed and it dispersed. So we look for a pattern, maybe it's also 70 years, okay, 70 years. Now, we are in the 70th year of Israel. By May 14 or 16, is it May 14 or say 14, I think. And next year, it will be the end of the 70 years of Israel's founding. Because in next year, while after that, it will become the 71st year. So now we are saying, would something happen between now and May 14 next year? And if we look at the earthquake report, there's so many earthquakes now that are unprecedented. You know that for all these many years in history of earthquake, it's getting more and more and more, as the Bible said, earthquake will increase. And you know, there's this guy, the Dutchman over on YouTube, you know, if you ever go to his website and all that, his channel, you see, he came on talking about, well, my son told me that he has not been sleeping in the last few days, same because he was saying that he was observing there's so many earthquakes that he had never seen before. And this guy study earthquake really well. And his prediction is very accurate. And now the report, you know, that I sent it to you, the link, the Sister Bree sent it to me. Look at the amount of quake now. When is the big one due in California? When is it going to happen? That was always Bob and said, California was sink. Will it happen before the end of the year? And look at the crazy weather that we have. And Kerala. The flood, they never had the kind of flood before, first time in history. What about Japan, hit by rain after rain, typhoon after typhoon? And the weather is getting, oh my, hot. Saudi, places where there are so much dryness. In Australia, cattle died. Rangers lost their income. They even have to cow the cow because the cow have no place to go, nothing to eat, no water. And there are even new diseases coming out. Oh yeah, on the new frontier of science, medicine. Well, they have discovered wonderful things. Singapore have a lot of scientists, a lot of invention, a lot of discovery. Yeah, they even find, I don't know what number, I forgot. The millions of all those genomes out there, you know, in your chromosome, they found the one that they can deal with your don't know what disease or what heart problem or something like that. Voila! Man has become like God. Yeah. Auto-human. You think about all that which science can do. And yet people think, no, the world is going to get better. No, the world is not going to get not going to get better. Donald Trump said what? The weather. People are complaining about global warming. No, it's just a weather problem. It's not global warming. And all that I know since the Bush administration, all this president, you know, I have never heard one of them said, yes, mankind is the cause of global warming. And when they blame it on anybody, they blame it on India. They blame it on China. They don't blame it on America. What then? And America is a country, a nation in Bible prophecy. Remember that. It's a nation in Bible prophecy. You know, I used to think when I was young, as I said, when I was a teenager. Back in those days, I mean, some of you youngsters, you do not know. Those days when I was a kid, 10, 12, 11 years old, and 15 or just after teenage, you know, Singapore is not like what it is today. We don't have all these high-rise buildings. And what do we have to go for entertainment? We play marble. We play clay day. I don't know whether any of you know clay day. You throw stones in a white line, and one of them says it's a horse, the other one is a cowboy. And play like that. We play chat day. You know that you kick the things like that. And
well, for the demon, sometimes they have cinema where you pay 10 cents and you go in because they put a fence around it, you know, a cowboy club. So you pay 10 cents to go watch movie. So, you know, I love cowboy and Indian. You know, all the news says that the Indian are the bad guys, the cowboy are the good guys. You know, that's Hollywood, they brainwash people. Huh? So we are young. You know, watching this Indian fighting the white man and capture the woman, and then here come the cowboy, all the kids in the cinema, yay! I remember that. And I was watching one, I still remember this black and white movie of General Custer. Oh, I thought he was a good guy. But it turned out that General Custer was, well, just a foolish guy anyway. Do you know why all this killing out there, the white man, anyone has, I mean, killing the Iranian problem, said, the white men are the renegade. And I've been studying and I'm making them understand, I love America. You know, it's a great country. Freedom. But freedom has taken its toll. Too much freedom spoiled the people's life. Right? The system is rotten to the core. And people do not even know. Of course, like any country, there is always a few good men, a few good women. When I look at what's going on, I just look back and I understand. Why did the Red Indians suffer the way they suffered? What have they done that these white men that came from Europe would take their land unfairly, put them in a reservation, and at one stage they put these Sioux Indians, the Lakota, the Cheyenne, they put them in a reservation, and you have this guy, the chief of Lakota tribe, the Sioux, I mean, called Chief Sitting Bull. He was a great warrior. They put him in a reservation. Okay, this is where it goes. So they stayed there, no problem. But some white man discovered gold. When they discovered gold, you know, they called Black Hill of Dakota. Suppose there's somewhere in Montana or South Dakota. They found gold, and so when they found gold, they drove the Indian back again. Is that fact? Then they killed Sitting Bull. They just kill him. You blame, you see the fairness? These are white men that came from Europe, supposed to be Christian people. Yeah, in the beginning, when they found the land under Colombia and all that, they came over fine, that's good. They were all really good Christians. But when they started to build a nation, they started to take over control. Or even that they were going down to South to Africa and take the black men and bring them over to America and make them slaves. So you all wonder, many times I wonder, where is that Canaanite? Where are the Canaanites today? And there was a website, a man said, the Canaanites today are the red Indians. I said, no. They may not just be the white Indian. It could be anybody, because they're so mixed. But they want to look at a pagan people as Canaanites. They want to look at the Mayans as Canaanites. They want to look at all those others in other countries as Canaanites. But one man, one writer and says the Canaanite spirit are those mercenaries they go out just to kill for what they want. Oh yeah, I'll go with them. And there is no stopping it. And to today, what's going on in the world, from seeing the George Bush administration until now, all the way down. When they went to war against Iraq, to kill Saddam Hussein, to make Saddam Hussein bow now, to make Saddam Hussein admit that they have weapon of mass destruction. Oh, that was a conspiracy. It was terrible. And even soldiers went to look for it, they were so upset and fed up. Even one man, one lieutenant, I think he wrote a book. Our government have lied to us. Oh yeah. Make America great again. If only they really would become great again. But America, according to the Bible, has been judged. The Bible called it the false prophet. Yes. The Bible calls it second beast, the false prophet. Look at the lie that is spreading around the world. So where are we at today? This is the only sign that we look at now, that we know somehow Christ will come. If Christ don't come by the end of next year, then when? Or what, it's going to be 80 years? Another 10 years? Looking at the word that Moses spoke when they were out there in the wilderness. You know, they spent 40 days out there in the wilderness. And in his song that he wrote, he said, many will live up there, possible 70 years, but if by good health, 80. So are we going to struggle? Now we're all weary. Huh? And many of our Christians say, I don't know whether this is true or not. People are sickly. What if in another 10 years? What pattern are we looking at? We don't know. Or even 120 years. Wow. Because that is the generation of lifespan of a man. But it's going to be 120 years? I don't think so. Maybe sometime around this rest of the year, there might be a big earthquake that shakes the whole of this earth, make the dead to rise up. So where are we? And so now the disciples said, and Jesus said, it is not for you to know the time and the season which the Father put in his own power, but, verse 8, I like that. Put a conjunction there. But, it is not for you to know the time. It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, the disciples said, ho, 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 ho. What? Perhaps some of us, well, maybe not the disciples. But now they're thinking, they're looking forward to the kingdom when he's still returning. I know Jesus said, but you shall receive power and you will be witnesses unto me. The word witnesses in the Greek word is martus. Where the word martyrs came from. You shall be witnesses unto me and die for the faith. The word witness is one thing, huh? You know, well, practically, sometimes true when you translate witness. The Bible did not translate as martyr. It sounds terrible. People will be afraid. Wow, to be a witness for Jesus Christ, I'll be a martyr. Oh yeah, of course. You know how that in those days of mafia in America, maybe the what in Japan, what they call it? Yakuza. Yeah. You know, if you were to be a witness in court against one of these mafia big guys like Al Capone, huh? You'll die. They'll shoot you. After you get out of court, they probably shoot you, right? Sure. They kill your family too. So nobody wants to be a witness when you get witness against a big bad guy. Nobody wants to. You know? So the same thing here, Jesus said, you shall receive the Holy Spirit and you shall be martyrs unto me. Now, are we all martyrs for Christ? Do we just open our mouth and share the word of truth? Or we just keep it to ourselves? When was the last time have you spoken to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ or about the truth that you have? Or are we afraid to don't know how to speak? That's why you have not received the Holy Ghost if you don't have that power. Just pray and ask the Lord, help me. Give me an open door that somebody that can speak a bit about you. I may not be able to speak much, but what I could do, I could speak. That's what Jesus said. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be martyrs unto me. He didn't say that you shall receive the Holy Ghost and you jump for joy and eternal life and you just live the life. The Holy Ghost that come upon you is you, that you make you a witness for Christ. involve your life and your testimony of words. See? If you go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 30.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wills souls is wise.
Right. He that wins a soul is wise. You know the joy of soul winning. When I was young, when I was in the Assemblies of God, I gave my life to the Lord and I went up practically every weekend to the park, to the hospital, on the street giving out training, speak to people, take the bus or the train all the way to KL and even Penang by myself to witness the gospel. And there's such a joy in that. He that wins souls is wise. And that because in one sense you know God, you know who you believe. You see. Verse 8 in Acts 1. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So this was the word of the Lord Jesus, that the gospel would go out first from Jerusalem, then in Judea area, then out of Judea to Samaria, then to the rest of the world. Now, the gospel have already gone around the world. That's why we are not far from the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, this same Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. So he's not coming back riding a white horse when he comes back for his people. He will come back riding a white horse only to fight in the battle of Armageddon. If you remember your timelines. So why do you stand here looking out? Wondering where he's gone. I remember the angel that came to the woman when they went to the sepulchre and what do you seek to live among the dead? He's not here. So what are we seeking? Now we are supposed to be there. We are believers. We are Christians. What are we seeking? Oh, sometimes I say, we just live our Christian life. We're not seeking. You know what? What are you seeking? I'm seeking for what? I'm seeking for the coming of the Lord. I'm seeking for more of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you seeking? Oh, you're seeking for a better paying job? What are you seeking? I'm seeking for happiness. Good. Where do you think happiness is found? In a stack of money? What is happiness? Where is happiness found? To find a good husband, to find a good wife, that's happiness. Know the song, happiness is to know the Savior. My happiness, my joy, what am I seeking? I'm seeking for the coming of the Lord. I'm looking for what's ahead. I'm looking at the Word. The Bible said, search the Scripture, for in them you find eternal life. They are there which speaks of me. Did not Jesus said that? Or the joy of it. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Well, where were they then? Where did Jesus ascend into heaven? And who were these people? Who were these ye men of Galilee? How many of them were there that saw Jesus Christ ascend up to heaven? How many of them were there? How many? Oh, some people said 120. No. No. Only the 11. Now we're going to need to understand this. Because this book here, the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, here he was talking about how the church started. And he was dealing with the apostles. Because Jesus Christ, he had chosen 12, and one of them is a devil. So 11. And he is intimate with this 11. I mean, they're full of enthusiasm now. Because even Thomas, before he touched the nail print in Christ's hand, he said, I cannot believe that he is resurrected until I see the nail prints in his hand. Until I feel his sight and things like that. You know what I mean? Until I see with my own eyes. You see, that's what Jews are. They always look for a sign. Isn't it true? Signs. Everywhere in the Old Testament, you see, they look for signs, signs, signs. And Jesus said, yeah, this generation of Bible, you're looking for signs. But there'll be no sign given you except the sign of Jonah. They need one, so Jesus give it to them. And they didn't even know what the sign of Jonah was. Huh? Right? But the Jew, I mean, the Gentile, what did Paul say? The Jew seek for signs. But the Greek, wisdom. Where is wisdom to be found? Where is wisdom found? How can you be wise? Some people say, Albert Einstein is a wise man. Really? That's because he had white hair? No, he was not a wise man. He just was an inventor. And because he was curious about things, so he studied. But what is wisdom? Wisdom do not come from around. This wisdom came from above. It comes from above. And there is no true wisdom unless the wisdom of God. Well, there is certain way that you can be wise if you sit under the Buddha tree. Or because of some meditation, you may be wise in some concept. Yeah. Sure. Even just as a Shaolin monk in the temple. Oh, the Buddhist meditation, in the quietness, you know. Well, in people just yesterday, I think it was, that an old Buddhist monk, what do you call it? I don't know whether the boy is dead. It was a young monk. He beat him until he was unconscious and went to the hospital. So, that wise, that old monk is not wise. He must have meditated. You know, you meditate supposed to be keep yourself calm, right? Isn't it? Keep yourself calm and cool, man. Like they say in America. But he was so angry with the young novice monk because he was prayerful. He was, I think, 9 years old. He slapped him, he beat him until he got fell on the floor and knocked his head. You know? Wow. Became so full of anger because that young boy who wanted to be a monk was playful. So where is your wisdom that you lose your mind like that? That's why I said, don't be quick. The Bible said, slow to anger. The reason why people get angry very fast is because they don't have a quieting spirit in them. They don't have the spirit of the God to quiet them. Yeah, I was angry many times inside the Lord. I just get inside. Because I don't want to explode it out. Because when you explode it out, you hurt people. So you want to get angry? You get frustrated, go home and punch the wall. I remember someone did in this fellowship one time and he came to church with bandage and all his hand. I can't remember who that was. He got so angry, he punched the wall. That's okay, don't punch somebody else. Wisdom. We need that. So now, how many went up? I mean, how many saw Jesus went up? Only the 11 disciples. And when was it? Where was the place of the ascension? Now, Lord, look for tradition, huh? If you go and visit Israel, you have a guide that will show you, and he will take you to this Catholic side, to that side. This is where Jesus died. This is where he had the Last Supper, and so on, right? Yeah, don't believe that. Right, you've been there, you know. No, I don't believe it, because all these are all just tradition and just make money. And you want to go and get baptized again in Jordan River, because Jesus was baptized there. You want to do that? Yeah, you pay to get baptized. Yep, because everybody wants to own the place. My goodness, the River Jordan is, it's God made it there, and you people make money all of that. 11 disciples saw him go. Where? Mount Olivet. Where was Mount Olivet? Where is Mount Olivet? Mount Olivet is on the eastern side of the city of Jerusalem. Alright? What day was it that Jesus got ascended to heaven? On the Sabbath day. The Bible said so. See, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. A Sabbath day journey. You know, that's kind of... Yeah, we have all this thing about the Jewish tradition. There are supposed to be 613 commandments in the Bible. And it is said there are supposed to be, I mean, these are all what the Jews that studied Old Testament, this how many commandments there are, huh? Okay. And now the 613, 365. Now remember, because 665 days in a year. 665 of those commandments are positive. The other are very negative. Wow. How do you keep all this law, man? I don't know how to keep this law. You see, in the Old Testament, what is this about? What Sabbath day's journey? What do you mean by a Sabbath day's journey? What in the Bible do you have that in the Old Testament? Because in the Old Testament, when God gave the law, he said, on the Sabbath day, don't go out of your dwelling. Oh, don't go out of my dwelling means I stay in the camp, I stay in the tent 24 hours until next day. Because the food is already prepared the day before, so I just eat. Don't wash the cutlery or the crockery. Don't wash, you cannot wash, you cannot work. Stay in the dwelling. So the Bible said, literally mean that? Later on, somehow, you know, you have the Talmud, you have the Mishnah and the Gemara, you know, this is a traditional interpretation of the Old Testament by the Jewish leader. So he said, oh, okay, now, maybe that's not what he said. Maybe you can get out of the dwelling, but you must only go for a certain distance. You know, you're not supposed to go out there and pick firewood, huh? It's illegal. If you see a gold coin on the road, you cannot pick it up. That's working. You're picking up something. Then you say, my goodness, that's money. That's a lot of money. So what am I going to do? Hide it. How to hide it? Use your foot and... Yet, you know, scrap the dust and cover it. But that's working! So there's no choice for you. Or maybe I kick it under a rock. That's still working! You see, what can they, how do we go about this? So somehow they come out about this Sabbath day's journey. A Sabbath day's journey. Okay, now, I think we got it. So Reverend came, ding, you know, the little bulb light up the head, up the head, on top of the head. You know, when the children of Israel move across to the promised land, the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant. They walk how many cubits in front of the camp? 2,000 cubits. 2,000 cubits! It's about 1.4 kilometers. Something like that, okay? So, That's a distance. You're not supposed to move until the breed get that distance, 2,000 cubits. So maybe we are allowed to walk 2,000 cubits. Now that's the reasoning, and so what then? Now, then they say, okay, if you go to a certain place to get your food, you have prepared your food, not in your place, but you have prepared the food in another place. So from there you go to take the food, is 2,000 cubits. But you have to come back, right? So maybe that is allowed. So now you have 4,000 cubits. So there are all kinds of interpretation. Okay? Interesting, isn't it? So by the time the New Testament came in, this became the tradition of the Jews. Remember this, huh? So now they say, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey? So from Jerusalem, the city, down the valley, up Mount Olivet. It's about 2,000 cubits. So that's the Sabbath day journey. Now, let me say this. We study the scripture, we just take for granted everything that the Jews start doing, they are correct, they are from God. You know, the Sabbath day journey is the creation of man. The Lord did not say anything. The Lord says, on the Sabbath day, don't leave your dwelling. It doesn't mean that you cannot walk outside. The only thing is that don't walk. Keep it holy. It doesn't mean that you cannot walk out and meditate somewhere. You see? But that's the tradition. And that's why when Jesus came, well, he healed the Sabbath. Right? You see what I mean? The Bible did not say that you cannot do good work on a Sabbath, healing, or, you know, do some charity. Somebody have no food, give him some food. You carry the food and give it to him. But that's working, you're carrying something. You see, that's why we have this tradition so strict, that they miss the mark, they miss the work, or the truth of God's word. And that's why we are supposed to be paying the entire message. The intermessage people, they look on Brother Bam's word so much so, they really didn't see the truth. They make it become such a tradition. Brother Bam said, Brother Bam said. Who are you to say otherwise? Right? So the Pharisees said to Jesus, Moses said, Moses give the law. Who are you to do otherwise? But Moses said one thing, you are the one to give the interpretation. And Jesus said, man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath made for man. Why does man become a slave to the Sabbath? The Sabbath is made for you, so that you remember as a rest day. 6 days you shall labor, the seventh day you rest. In your rest period, what is that rest? Now, do we have a Sabbath? Do we have a Sabbath to keep it holy? Well, Seventh Day Adventist Sabbath is from Friday evening to Saturday. What is my Sabbath? What is your Sabbath? It's not a day, it's a person. Christ is my Sabbath. He died on a Friday. He slept through the Sabbath day. He rested through the Sabbath day that we may find rest in Him, because in death, what we call rest in peace. We find rest in Christ. That's my rest. It's not only one day. It's every day. It's for eternity. It's from now to eternity. I'm in the rest. You know. See how that's going on over there, and that's the reason why the book of Acts, even throughout the rest of all the epistles written by their, Peter, James, and John, and Paul, they still maintain some religious connection. Oh, look at Paul. You know, Paul had a great revelation, right? You know, he says a great revelation, you know. He said, oh, the Lord, you know, this pain in his eyes. He prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove it. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? He said, God put it there so that with all his revelation, his knowledge of all the things that he knew, the mysteries of God, all these lessons be passed up. Right? It remains there. But then look at what Paul did. When there is a festive season for the Jew, wow, he wants to go and keep it. Real sure. Because it's a cultural thing. Huh? You see? Oh, Pentecost is coming. I must go. He will do it. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you want to keep the feast of the Passover, what the Jews do, you want to do it? Go ahead and do it. But don't get me involved in killing those a lamb and roast it. You can invite me to eat it. That's fine. I mean, people want to go through a ritual. That's alright. Paul keep that. No, disciples all keep that because they were Jewish people. We Chinese in your cow. Dong 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 chang, dong 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 chang. Happy New Year, gong si, gong si. And then we collect this, we eat this and all that. And then the Indian, you have your own New Year. What is that? And you have festival of light, yeah, okay, you say have happy or whatever thing, and then you greet everybody. And it's just that is a festive season. But don't get into idolatry. Don't get way off into idolatry. Just like Christmas. What Christmas? You want to greet somebody happy Christmas Day? Fine, Merry Christmas, fine. Invite you to go and eat some Christmas turkey? Fine, go eat it. Huh? They have a Christmas tree in the house, that's their problem. But you don't want to have a Christmas tree in your house. You don't want to have all this fancy, well, when I was young, yeah, we put that because we're children. See? You know, it's a festive thing. But don't carry it away. They say Christmas is the day that Jesus was born. He wasn't born on Christmas Day. You know? Don't get into something so deep. Jesus Christ never forbid you to have your own cultural festivals. Paul never rebuked them. Paul said if someone invites you to a feast, he was talking about pagan feast. Go! If you have to go, go. And you sit down and just eat it. Don't ask a question. And you know in a festive feast, they offer the pig to their god, the chicken to their god, right? And a person just sit down and eat it, don't ask question. Don't ask question. Is this offered to idol? If this offered to other, and the man who is an idol worshiper, hey, my friend, I invite you here to have a feast with me, and you ask all this question. Just eat. But of course, some Christians are taught, oh, you cannot eat a food offered to idol. What did the Bible say then? The Bible said, don't be a stumbling block, that's all. To those who are weak. Yeah. I remember when I was young, we have a neighbor. We don't know we are Christian family. No, they knew. She knew, I mean, she was an elderly lady. But on the festive season, she will bring some food for us. And she told us, yeah, I know you are Christian. And I was told that you're Christian, don't eat food offered to idol. You know? But I'm your neighbor, I want to offer you this. You can eat, right? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, no problem, we can eat. You know? Of course, no, I don't say in her, but your idol is nothing. I can't say that, right? Because they'll be offended. You know, just take that and Paul said, just pray over and if I eat. Because idol is really nothing. You see? And I remember, I said, when we were young, before I was Christian, we were all looking to the... My father's first wife, you know, she worshipped by idols. And the chicken and all that on the altar, and everybody pray, and the chicken come down, we eat. We know that is not for them. I know we eat it. I mean, just funny, isn't it? You know? So we need to honor and keep our balance. Otherwise, we'll be troubled. Huh? Because if we say, oh, this food offered to idol, we cannot eat it because It is all about the idol. Are you saying that the idol is real? That it is really God? And Paul said it's nothing. The only thing is that we don't argue people in conflict with those who are idol worshippers. That you don't go to the temple and go and tell them, hey, you are worshipping while your office is here. You know this idol, they cannot move and all this. They will come and kill you. Obviously, isn't it? It's not that don't say that there's an Old Testament that you have a showdown on Mount Carmel. Well, between Israel and this false prophet. And that's why Elijah can make a mockery out of them. So we need to know. Alright, let's continue. So that they were there on Mount Olivet, and now they return back to Jerusalem. Okay. And when they were coming, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. How many of them? 11. Only the 11 disciples. These are the chosen 11. That means that they went back where they abode. Whose home is that? The Bible did not tell you that it was the home of anyone. It says it's an upper room. An upper room. How big is an upper room? Well, you know, the interpretation of some people coming around and say, oh, this upper room is where they had the Last Supper. And where was written Last Supper, the room, the Bible said, is mega. Means great, means big. But how big is big? Is this already the same room as the one that they had the Last Supper? Huh? How big is the big room? In those days, how big is the room of the houses of the children of Israel, or the Jewish people? How big is it? Small. They probably have a room like this for a living room with some furniture and what do you call wash area. But the size are even smaller. This is an upper room. Of course, they have upper room. Upper room usually are quite small because it is an attic. But as it's on top of the roof, but there is an open space. Like in India, I've been to. You know, you get out on that, and then you have an open space. Probably about double the size of this. Because it's a big building, like the one where we have, where I stay in the Methodist lodging house. You know. That is different. That's not an upper room. That's a balcony. What do we call that? Huh? Terrace. Yes. But this is an upper room. And there Peter abode with the other disciples. And what else did he say? These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So if we just look at these verses, it seems that the 120 people all stay in the upper room. Now let us look at it very carefully right here. Verse 12, they, the 11, returned back to Jerusalem. And then they went into an upper room where these 11 were mentioned. They stayed there. They didn't say that they stayed with the woman's or woman's house, somebody's house. This upper room most likely is like a guest house. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And how big is a guest house? And what do people think that this upper room is the one that Jesus had the Passover? I have no idea why they conclude that. I guess more or less a tradition. So you go to Israel, the tour guide will tell you, bring you to the place. Did you go there, Brother Jordan? No. If you go on a tour, the tour guide will take you to the place where the Catholic said this is the place where Jesus had the Last Supper. And they will tell you that. You see? And it's a big place, of course, because it's big. They choose a place that's big. But how should that is the same building is not? We don't know. How many years ago now? 2,000 years ago. Right? That place is still there. Or they just built it up. A tradition. So this is an upper room. It's mostly a guest chamber. They paid to stay there. Who are these men? These men, these 11, they were not Judean. They were not Bethlehemites. They were what? Galileans. They came from the north. There were people that, a lot of people say the Galileans are the not the good ones. What good thing comes out of Nazareth? Nazareth is in Galilee. Is that right? What good thing comes out from there? Nothing. You think there will be the prophet comes out from Galilee? Come on, don't tell me that, man. You will come up from Jerusalem. Come up from New York. Some good place. But not from Nazareth. And these were men, they were all Galilean. Not one disciple was a Judean. Huh? Or Bethlehemite. They were all from Galilee. The Bible tells us that. Because Jesus lived in Nazareth of Galilee. And that's where he found his disciples. Yep. Interesting, isn't it? Because that's where the fish in the Sea of Galilee. That's where he found his this fisherman, tax collector, whatever. You see? Interesting, huh? Who are we? Are we the smart, intellectual guys that God chose us? You think you're very good? Do you think you are some special person? Some smart, intellectual person that God chose you? All the disciples, particularly every one of them, are just commoners. Right? Commoners. All they have to know is catch fish. The sister Bali's husband, right? All she knows is catch fish. Huh? And tax collector, all he knows is count money, take money. They know nothing. They know nothing about the great universe, nothing. Not like the wise man, Gamaliel, who studied, you see. Not like Paul was a student of the Bible, intellectual. Until God got to knock his head. You know, all that the intellectual rubbish all of him. So that he could feel in the real wisdom of God. God did not choose all because you are good or because you are intellectual. No. These are all common people. Nobody is special. I'm glad I'm one of them. Are you not? Yeah. And not because you have a PhD or TD, whatever you have, university degree. Don't come and tell me, Berger, you have a U degree. I don't have it. So you have it, so you're better than me. Maybe because you have a bigger paper, I only have a school cert. So we are not, God is not looking at that. God is calling a people he chose. Now, there are, the next verse says, verse 40, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman. So it seems that, they went up the upper room and all these 11 were together with the woman and 120 disciples. Wow. They all fit into the upper room. Now, in this room here can sit about 60 people comfortably. More than that, it's quite a squeeze. So you cannot tell me that in the upper room, the Bible here said this, huh? It says, the number of the names together were about 120. When the Bible mentioned the number about 120, it's always about men. Women are not included in counting. All the census that were taken, all taken of men. They don't take children, they don't take women. They considered the man. And he said, about 120. What do you mean by about? 121, 119. The Bible is always running the number. Okay, not including the woman. So now let's assume the 120 men and the woman who went were there, right? Mary, right? Mary Magdalene, Martha, Mary of Bethany, all these other women, they were there. So other disciples that were there, they might have wife, right? And so mother come along, must come along with the children, right? Do you think so? If they all will come from their house to meet in this upper room with their children, and you think they only start at 2? Huh? In Singapore here, in those days, like, stop at 2. No, of course, you know, we have a problem. Now they say, don't start at 2, please, have more. So do you think those days the woman have only 2 children? If the wife come along, you know, that she's also a believer, how big will be the number of people, including children? 200 or more. And how do you fit them in the upper room? Now, read the Bible and just look at it. Alright, so, now, that Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. They obeyed, they were told that they'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, when Jesus told them that, they also remember that John the Baptist said something like that. He said, I need baptize you with water. But there will come one who soon lays, I will not be able to untie. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power. So now you have 2 confirmations. Wow, John the Baptist said so now. Our Lord said so. Alright. So they are looking forward to just that. Right. And the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem. They were told to tarry in Jerusalem. They didn't, Jesus did not tell them how long to wait. Right? Jesus did not say, tarry until Pentecost. No, Jesus did not say that. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Now, the Jew at that time, the disciples at that time, I'm very sure that they did not understand the feast of Jehovah. That Christ actually fulfilled the Passover and the feast of first fruit. I don't think they realized that. That he was also the Lord of the Sabbath and fulfilled that. He died on Friday, Sabbath, Friday evening. Friday evening to Saturday, the Sabbath day. Jesus was in the tomb. Right? First day of the week came, the feast of first fruit. And I don't think that they understand this as yet. I mean, now we understand. If I go back in time, God live in Jesus' time, I'm one of the disciples. I said, I know that. Pentecost come, the Holy Spirit will come. But we know because we are now living in the future, of that time, ahead of that time, and we can look back and we know. But at that time, they do not know. They were told to wait, and they wait. They wait in Jerusalem. And they were eagerly looking for it. Now, we are all looking for the coming of the Lord, right? Amen. So, are you, amen. So, are you happy? Are you happy looking for the coming of the Lord? Are you going every day, oh my goodness, Christ, when are you coming, man? When are you coming? I got so much tiredness, you know, I'm old and I have to do this. Oh my Lord, there's so much problem. When are you coming? Why are we grumbling, huh? The young ones here, you want to come? You like to come? Not to come? To show you are not going to wait for another 20, 30 years because you've got a career, you know? What about you? Where are you from? Are you sure? I don't know. They said so, but you know, from the days that I came to know Christ and heard about His return, I just returned looking forward to His return, right? I have been a Christian since I was not even 12 years old. Until now, I'm still looking for him, rejoicing. Yeah, now that I'm getting old. Yeah, there's some pain here, pain there. Oh my. Right, brother? Yeah. So we all mentioned, oh dear. But you know, they were looking forward to receive what Christ promised. You shall receive power of the Holy Ghost is come. And we are looking forward to his return, so we must rejoice and looking forward to his return. Amen. Christ came. They saw. Christ gave, or Christ called them. They respond. Christ promised, they receive. The question is to everybody, what think you of Christ? What think ye of Christ? What would this man do for you? And he did it already for us. The question right now is not what would this man do for you? He already did it for you. Things that pertains to eternal life. The question is that, what do you think of him? What will you do for him if you are a child of God? So everything that when we receive from the Lord, we must also have a response. Alright, let's continue. Now, the 120, the upper room cannot sit more than 120 people, obviously. Alright? So, there was a place where they abode. But the Bible, when we read just now, it says, they all continued with one accord in prayer and a supplication with the woman and the other disciples. Sure. You cannot say that they were there 24 hours for the rest of the 10 days. But you don't know how long to wait, right? It cannot be. Jesus did not tell them to go to a room, fast and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Jesus didn't say that. He said, go back and you tarry in Jerusalem. Just wait in Jerusalem. So of course, as Christian, as believer, they were eager looking for the promises, so they all gathered together. Right? And the 11 were so closely knit together. They met with the other woman, the other disciple, wherever they could gather. Now, perhaps in this upper room where they stay, downstairs, there is a courtyard. Usually, in Hebrew housing, they always have a courtyard. They would have a layout where the rooms are on the side, an upper room. Lower, you have a stable there, they have cows and their horses, a donkey there, and then in the center of it is a courtyard. And the courtyard, there will be possible for where people will be there for more than 100 people. So the disciple, would gather with them, they pray with them, perhaps in the courtyard, or perhaps other times in the upper room somewhere. But here come now, there were 7. First day of the weekend. Yeah, they get together to worship, waiting for the Lord to pray. Monday comes. Well, what do you think? Peter was just sit there. Peter, he will go fishing. He will do his job. You cannot stay there. They have to go and work. They finish their job, they come back and they gather. But why he and some other disciples do their work, they'll continue praying. They'll gather, they'll discuss, they'll just wait. They were told to wait, they wait. When you wait, you just don't put your hand and lie down on the bed and put your leg like this. No. You don't do that. You don't just lie down on a hammock and daydream. I was told to wait, so I wait. You have to help to continue your living, your life. Just like here now. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord, right? So what do we do? Are we just waiting for the coming of the Lord and now what? Have we suddenly said chapas, tansi? Right, we don't just sit down, eat and just lay back and what? rot away. We walk, we do our work looking for the coming of the Lord. That's obvious, isn't it? The Bible said, don't be idle. Anyone has seen that the Bible says, the man who don't work, no eat. Means, you don't work, you got no money, you don't ask people to provide you food. Life goes on. Work. As well as the city is, never think after Jesus comes, we're going to heaven, we are going to sit on club number 9, number 7. I will choose number 7, 177. And lie down and play guitar. Do nothing. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, my Father hitherto work, now I work. In the future, we will work. There is the work to do out there in the new heaven, new earth. People think that there's nothing to do. They run around playing like kids. Huh? Oh, no, 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 no. We don't know what God has for us. You want to know what it is? What's in the future? Read Revelation chapter 23. The answer is that. You know? At least I'm glad you don't turn to Revelation 23. Why not? Turn to Revelation chapter 23 and read from verse 1 onward. That's what you will have in the future. But there's work to do. So now, they work, they come back, they go to the upper room, they pray. Some women will be around, some are disciples. Evening comes, maybe everybody comes back from work. Oh, they probably pray in the courtyard. Right? In the evening time, they sit down there, they pray in the courtyard. One day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. But in those days, here, over there in chapter, verse 16, Peter stood up and he said, men and brethren, this scripture must need be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Well, he was the guide that took the Sanhedrin soldiers, right? You know, to seek for Jesus and betray him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Huh. For he was never with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Oh yeah, he was somewhere with us. So now Peter in those days, in those days, in the period where Jesus told them to wait. Okay, they were waiting. So Peter one day just stood up. I don't know where, third day, fourth day, I don't know, Bible didn't tell that. So in those days, Peter stood up. And there were all the disciples there. The woman and all this. Right? And then he spoke. Men and brethren, when he talked about the betrayal of Jesus Christ by Judas Iscariot, alright, Iscariot, and he said that he was numbered with us, okay, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gush out. That sounds terrible. He not only hang himself, but the rope gave way, and he fell down headlong. You know, most likely that he went to a place where there's a higher ground, there's a tree that's over there. You know? So he hang down, maybe the branch broke, whatever. He fell down the slope, and his bowel gush burst open by a sharp rock where he fell in. All the intestine came off. And this man purchased a field, okay, verse 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, in so much that field is called in their proper tongue, Akadama. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. That is what the Psalms say. Go to Psalms 69:25, and somebody read it. Psalm 69, verse 25.
Let the habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents.
Just it, right? This is the part here. His habitation be desolate. His habitation, his place, where he abode. What is the habitation? His house? No. His habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. His place. What place was Judas Iscariot dwelling? Let his word be desolate. His position. You know, Judas Iscariot was influenced by another spirit. So much as to betray Christ. You don't want to dwell in that kind of place. Same with us. Now we are Christian. What happened if you are caught like Boko Haram? Tell you to deny Christ and let you go. Or would you stand firm? If you deny Christ, you are in the same habitation as Judas Iscariot. You are dwelling in that place where you are not sincere, where you want to believe in Jesus God for your own gain. That's what Judas Iscariot did. There are many preachers out there who serve Jesus Christ for their own belly. See? So let his habitation be dazzled. Nobody take that. Nobody want to dwell in that kind of place. And let his bishopric, then another thing. His calling as a bishop. Let somebody else take his place. That's Peter. Okay, and let's continue. Wherefore of this man which have accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must be one ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So they say the only condition that the person can take his place to be like us, to be an apostle, must be one who, beginning from the baptism of John, until Christ died and resurrected, he sees all this. And so they look around of the 120 others, there were only 2% qualified. And they appointed to Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Judas, and Matthias. Two of them. Now, before I close, and I won't touch this, but let me just go to one verse in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17.
For ye know how that afterward, where he would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Right, even as Esau, the same thing. Judas Iscariot was just like Esau. Spurned the birthright. Now every one of us have a birthright. You all have a birthright? Yes. Yeah, you all have a birthright. You are a child of God. Don't ever spurn it. Esau spurned the birthright. Then he realized that he has sold it to Jacob. He sold it with tears to bring it back. He cannot change it. Judas is kind of the same. He found no place for repentance. No matter how he cried, the Lord, forgive me for betraying Christ. God remained silent. That's why he found there's no hope. He just might as well die. Huh? And that's what the Bible says in Acts 1:25. He go to his own place. The last part of that verse. That he might go to his own place. When you choose what you want to do, your place, when you betray Christ, there's no other place to go. You go to your own place, a place that you're supposed to be. Every one of us is foreknown of God where our place is supposed to be. Where is your place? You say, my place is in heaven. Good for you. But the moment the test comes, if you deny Christ, heaven is never your place. God knew your place was in hell. Hey, come on, preacher, don't talk about how did not Judas Iscariot in hell. He's in heaven, you know, because he was chosen by Jesus. When God chose you, he chose you. Yeah, that's the way we always look one side to the word choice. Because he was elected, yeah. Jesus said, I chose all of you and one of you is a devil. The children considered that, and he chose the devil. Jesus God was never in the first place a chosen, elected child of God. He was a devil to play his part. Oh, you're telling me that God knows who's who, go to heaven and who's going to hell? Of course. Well then, I leave to God then. I just live my life, I go to heaven, I go to heaven, I go to hell, I go to hell. I heard people talk about like this. Yep. And years ago, there are some in this fellowship who are no longer with us. If my daughter, my children will be saved, you will be saved, I don't have to worry about it. Really? The Bible said, you raise up your children that they, you know, in the fear of the Lord. Huh? In the way that they should go. And when they grow older, they will not depart from that truth. If you don't raise them, how would you know? Oh, because, you know, God said he chose. God didn't choose you to go to heaven or go to hell. God knows you are going to heaven or go to hell. But you don't. God did not choose someone to go to heaven, someone to go to hell. He didn't do that. He already knew your place. He already knew your place. That's the thing about it. Because he's God. He didn't predestine you to heaven or predestine you to hell. You only, when you talk about predestination, there's one doctrine people that they've messed up. Predestination, the Bible is that he predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what he did. So that we be like him in the image of his son. He didn't predestine to heaven and hell, no. Read the Bible carefully. Only that he knew by his foreknowledge where your place will be. But someone has to play the part of Judas Iscariot. The Bible talks about false Christ, false prophet. Somebody has to play the part. It's not a truth. No. And you don't, and you think that the false prophet know that they are playing the part of a false prophet. They don't. They thought that they are preaching for Christ, right? Yeah. Yes. That's the reason why when God moved, we need to understand where he moved. When people say, oh, you know how to say, we stay on the center of the road, right? We always say, stay on the center of the road. Yeah, we stay on the center of the road. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right. It doesn't mean that we don't turn. You know the road, huh? You know, if you go on the road, just one single road, the center of the road is higher than the side. Why? Because when the rain comes, the rubbish will go to the side. So if you go to the side, you're picking up rubbish. And then a lot of Christians will go to the side. Instead of moving on the center path, they go to the side and pick up rubbish. Go to the left, pick up rubbish. The Bible did not say that the center of the road is a straight line. The road will curve. But stay on the center. That's what it means. Do you understand? So if God, the road of God said to make a turn. He turned the corner, you have to turn. Because you cannot go straight when God turned. And you have to follow God. I pray that you understand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Bless us, O Father. For we need thy blessing, O Lord. Truly, Lord Jesus, only we deal with thy word and how that you dealt with your sins of old and how that you are dealing with us now. We know, Lord, it's your time, the time in the Father's hand, that we will one day come together as we see now, Lord, that we all might all be perfected as one in thy holy word. And we thank you, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds to look at your word and to love your word. We pray, Father, Lord, that we love you, your word, with all our heart, our spirit, mind, body, and our soul as well. That our life, O Lord, will continue to be worthy of the gospel. So bless us, Lord, and fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.